It is Friday, September 14th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Hurricane Florence makes landfall in North Carolina. Paul Manafort pleads guilty to charges brought by special counsel Robert Mueller and agrees to cooperate with the Justice Department. And the Americana Music Awards honor a variety of artists. It's all ahead. Hurricane Florence made landfall on North Carolina's Atlantic coast early Friday. It triggered a life-threatening storm surge of floodwater kilometers inland and tore apart buildings with strong winds and heavy downpours. The National Hurricane Center said Florence came ashore near the town of Wrightsville Beach, nearly 10 kilometers east of the city of Wilmington, with maximum sustained winds of 150 kilometers per hour and higher gusts. I'm joined by VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb, who hails from North Carolina. Carla, how is the U.S. military responding to Hurricane Florence?
Well, here at the Pentagon, we've just been updated, and there are actually about 7,000 people combined from the National Guard and active duty personnel in the military who have basically formed a pre-positioned ring around the area that's going to be affected. They've sent two amphibious warships, the Kearsarge and the Arlington, literally following the hurricane to the shore so that way they can begin search and rescue missions along the Carolinas as soon as the storm is over. And people are just trying to remain prepared. The Air Force generals here are just trying to tell us to just keep everybody who are local, keep them away from getting out. It's too early to get out and move about. Wait until the storm is over and then move. And hopefully people have evacuated and they're not in some of these really heavily affected areas.
Yeah, one of the characteristics of this particular hurricane is that it's going to linger for a while, just dumping a lot of rain.
It is, yes. And so that is why people said to watch out for the flooding. I know that my family, as you mentioned, I'm from North Carolina, and my aunt and uncle's house has had some flooding. They live very close to the shoreline. Other family members have evacuated, and they did not know the status of their home. So, but many, many of my family members and friends are without power right now. In fact, some of them lost power yesterday before the storm had even fully hit. So they are looking at this for the long haul. No one is expecting things to be fixed immediately, but the most important thing is that everybody stays safe. And like I said, the military is trying to help with the civilian support for these areas, providing several rotary wing aircraft, those are helicopters and such, to try to get people out and get people evacuated as soon as possible. After that, they're going to be trying to get the roads up and running again and then work from there getting electricity back as well.
Yeah, and I believe there are firefighters from across, really from a number of states, as well as I'm sure electric company workers that are heading down to that area just, again, to support this whole effort to get the power, you know, restored.
Absolutely, Sarah. I have heard that there are more than 10 states mobilizing support for National Guard forces to help these impacted areas.
All right. Thanks very much. That's Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. A super typhoon will hit the Philippines on Saturday. The Turkish and Russian presidents will meet in Sochi on Monday to discuss Syria. Bangladeshi garment workers reject a government wage hike. And a teenager dies and 12 people are injured in blasts near Boston. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists say that for about the first 2.1 billion years of Earth's history, there wasn't enough oxygen in its atmosphere to support complex life. Then about 2.5 billion years ago, blue green algae called cyanobacteria, living in Earth's shallow oceans, began emitting enough oxygen through photosynthesis to create the permanently oxygenated atmosphere that keeps us alive today. A new study led by researchers at the University of Washington suggests that Earth did get a couple of whiffs of oxygen when levels of the gas rose and fell at least two times, some 50 to 150 million years earlier. The researchers were able to determine this after finding certain elements that are dependent on an oxygenated environment in samples of sedimentary rocks taken from deep underground in Australia. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we hear about the winners of the Americana Music Awards. The World Food Program says humanitarian workers, warehouses, and food stocks in Yemen's port city of Hodeidah have come under attack in recent days, jeopardizing vital assistance programs. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The World Food Program warns the rapidly deteriorating security situation in Hodeidah is threatening its life-saving operations for hundreds of thousands of people. Last month, the WFP provided emergency food rations to around 700,000 out of 900,000 people at extreme risk. The WFP reports several serious security incidents have occurred since Wednesday. It says the Red Sea mill silos, which mill a quarter of the WFP's monthly wheat requirements, came under attack. It says a mortar shell launched by an unidentified armed group also hit a WFP warehouse, holding enough food for 19,200 people. It says a guard was injured. WFP spokesman Hervé Verhoosel tells VOA none of the food was stolen. But for security reasons, he says WFP has not been able to use its trucks to transport and deliver the food to the hungry.
It's very important that every party respects the work of the humanitarian, that WFP or other agencies are not used politically or military for any reason. We are there as a neutral party to help the population in need in a country. And hunger is, of course, one of the most important problems for the moment. We need to find a way to deliver the food to the people in need.
Verhoosel says 46,000 tons of wheat are expected to arrive in Hodeidah within the next week and a half. He fears ongoing clashes could jeopardize the shipment. WFP reports more than 8 million people in Yemen are facing starvation. It warns any disruption to the food supply could push many over the brink. U.S.-backed Yemeni government forces have been fighting al-Qaeda-linked militants in the country for years. The port of Hodeidah is held by Houthi rebels. Crucial humanitarian aid goes through the port, although the Yemeni government accuses the Houthis of using the port to smuggle weapons. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Prosecutors told a federal court in Washington that President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, Friday agreed to cooperate with U.S. prosecutors investigating alleged Russian election meddling as part of his plea agreement. I'm joined by VOA national correspondent Jim Malone. Well, Jim, what does this mean for the ongoing Russia investigation, which President Trump has been very critical of?
It's an interesting question, Sarah, because what we now are being told is that there will be some form of cooperation between Manafort and the Mueller investigation. We simply don't know right now what that might entail. In the short term, what this does is it removes the possibility of Manafort now having to go through a second trial here in the District of Columbia, a federal trial. He's already been found guilty on bank and fraud charges in a court in Virginia. So all of this now, his ability to plead guilty to these two charges now and possibly cooperate with prosecutors, that will factor into whatever sentence he eventually gets in terms of a jail term.
Well, what will this mean for the White House? Because I think White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has said, you know, President Trump has nothing to do with this.
Right. And we have to point out that the Manafort trial and the case really is about his activities on behalf of Ukraine, various efforts aimed at disguising money he was making overseas, bank and tax fraud. So it was mostly focused on that. But of course, he was the president's campaign chairman for several months during the 2016 campaign. We know he was present at a key meeting at Trump Tower with some Russian intermediaries who were offering material on Hillary Clinton. So obviously, it looks as though the Mueller team thinks that Manafort may have something to offer here, and we won't know the details for some time as to what that might be. But it's also a reminder of the Russia probe hanging out there. We're less than 2 months now to U.S. congressional elections, and the president, whose poll ratings have been slipping of late, doesn't need another reminder to voters of this ongoing investigation, which, again, he is often proclaiming his innocence and saying there's been no proof of collusion between his campaign and Russia.
Yeah. And President Trump has said that Manafort, even though he was campaign chairman, he worked for him for only a short time and kind of, you know, downplayed his participation.
That's right. And now there's been speculation there could be a pardon offered at some point, which could enter into this. But right now it looks as though Paul Manafort has decided and his lawyers not to go through a second trial. They're going to cooperate with the prosecution. And we'll see where this takes us in terms of the overall Russia probe.
All right. Thanks very much. That's VOA national correspondent Jim Malone. U.S.-based tech giant Apple has introduced its newest products, including the latest iPhone and fourth-generation Apple Watch. Tim Cook is Apple's CEO.
We introduced the Apple Watch Series 4, newly designed and re-engineered to help you stay even more active, healthy, and connected. It is the most capable Apple Watch yet. We showed you the new iPhone XS, the most advanced smartphone in the world with a Super Retina display, advanced Face ID, a breakthrough dual camera system, and the smartest, most powerful chip ever in a smartphone. An iPhone XS is not just one phone, it's two. With the iPhone XS Max, the biggest screen ever in an iPhone, the biggest battery ever in an iPhone, and of course, the biggest experience ever in an iPhone. And the iPhone XR with the new Liquid Retina display, it shares so many of the advanced features of iPhone XS, and it is just stunning with six beautiful new finishes to choose from. iPhone XR will allow us to deliver the future of the smartphone to even more people.
The 10s will retail at $999 and the 10s Max at $100 more. The less expensive iPhone XR or XR retails at $749. Tom Forte, managing director and senior research analyst at the financial services company D.A. Davidson, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty there are two important takeaways involving Apple's strategy. First, by providing a high-cost smartphone, Apple is intent on boosting profits, even though it will end up selling fewer phones.
I think the exercise for investors today was to watch the product unveiling and ask themselves, in particular on the Apple Watch, if they're offering the product at $399 and the price becomes affected by the tariffs that the U.S. government is imposing, would I still buy the product if it were 5 to 10% more expensive? So 5% on $400 is $20. So at $429 or $449, would I feel the same way about the Apple Watch? And I would argue that the elasticity in demand for the Apple Watch is greater than it is for the iPhone. So I think the big challenge for Apple going forward is, will there be some sort of degradation in their sales if these tariffs affect the price of their merchandise, especially on a short-term basis, the watch, and then on a long-term basis, the iPhone.
So what's Apple's strategy going forward here with these new products?
To continue to dominate the high-end luxury portion of the category that it focuses on. Again, in the smartwatch, it's the high end of the category. In the smartphone, same thing. So I think Apple's core strategy is not to do everything, not to focus on every opportunity within consumer electronics. However, when it finds something worth pursuing, to go after the sweet spot for Apple, which is the high margin, high price point product, and then they generate the lion's share of the profits in the category. I still think that's their core strategy.
One analyst suggests that this new unveiling will keep Apple's smartphone growth going until the competition steps up.
Absolutely. And I do think that on a near-term basis, so long as they can avoid the negative impact of tariffs on their primary product being the iPhone, then the future is bright for Apple and for the shares of Apple. And in particular, they're benefiting from the significant changes in U.S. tax law, which is enabling them to return more money to shareholders via buying back stock and via dividends. So on a near-term basis, I think the future is bright. At the same time, I think investors have to keep a close eye on the tariffs and seeing if that has an impact on their pricing or their margins on a near-term basis for the watch and then further out for the iPhone.
Tom Forte of D.A. Davidson. Apple began taking pre-orders for the 10s Friday with availability set for September 21st. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
The 2018 Americana Music Awards took place this week in Nashville. Nikki Strong of VOA One is here to tell us about it. Well, first, Nikki, what is Americana music?
Americana music, it's a catch-all term for different kinds of American roots-based music. So that would include folk, bluegrass, blues, roots rock country, gospel as well. It's these genres, but it's also music that draws from these genres. And doesn't necessarily fit into the category. Americana music can be very genreless. So I heard one artist say it's the stuff that falls in the cracks. Yeah. So it may have elements of country, but not be country enough. It may be rocky, but not considered rock and roll per se. And because it doesn't neatly fit into how genres are defined in the mainstream, many times it doesn't get a lot of airplay on mainstream radio. I call it melting pot roots music.
These awards were part of the Americana Music and Festival Conference.
Yes, yes. It's a yearly gathering of artists and fans and industry folk that participate in panels and seminars and performances. It's an opportunity for people to come together to network, learn, discuss, and address the needs of the Americana music community, advocate for its success. It's put on by the Americana Music Association. This is its 19th year, and the festival goes from September 11th to September 16th in Nashville this year, and the award ceremony actually happened on September the 12th.
So tell us who won what.
Okay, so there are about six competing categories, and then there are Lifetime Achievement Awards. So Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, they were the big winners. They took home about three awards. Best Album of the Year for their project, The Nashville Sound. It's a great project. Song of the Year for If We Were Vampires, as well as Best Group or Duo of the Year. Other winners include Artist of the Year, John Prine, and the Emerging Artist was Tyler Childers, and the Instrumentalist of the Year was Molly Tuttle. She is a singer-songwriter and a banjo and guitar player. Some of the Lifetime Achievement honors include Buddy Guy for Instrumentalist, Katie Lang for the Trailblazer Award, and Roseanne Cash. She was honored with the Spirit of Americana Free Speech in Music Award. She's been very active politically. She speaks a lot about gun reform, as well as copyright reform and fair compensation for artists. I think it's interesting to note that her father, Johnny Cash, received the inaugural Spirit of Americana and Free Speech Award back in 2002. And this week, marks the 15th anniversary of his death.
Oh.
I know. Roseanne, by the way, she did perform at the awards. She did her new song, Everyone But Me, Everyone But Me, from her upcoming album, She Remembers Everything, which is due out October 26th.
Will the awards be televised so we can see all the great artists that performed?
No and yes. So the Americana Music Association, they partnered with PBS's Austin City Limits, as well as with the Country Music Television Network, CMT, to share highlights from the event. So the CMT broadcast will air on November 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And PBS ACL, Austin City Limits broadcast, will air sometime in February of next year.
You can hear several Americana artists on Country Hits USA with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. You can also reach Nikki on Facebook and Twitter at VOA 1 The Hits. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk in the snow and laugh at all the lovers in their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find. And hope it isn't me who's left behind. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. One day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone.
That's the music of Jason Isbell, If We Were Vampires. Well, Pope Francis has accepted the resignation of a U.S. bishop accused of sexually harassing adults. West Virginia Bishop Michael Bransfield will now face a Vatican investigation. Bransfield's resignation came just as the top leaders in the U.S. Church sat down with the pontiff to consider the burgeoning scandal that has rocked the church in several countries. The leader of the U.S. Church, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, said the meeting was a lengthy, fruitful, and good exchange. But he did not say what steps U.S. church leaders might take, if any, to address the sex abuse allegations in the U.S. church. The Vatican's former U.S. ambassador has called for the Pope to step down in the wake of his failure to act until recently to remove Archbishop Theodore McCarrick of Washington after allegations surfaced that he abused a teenage altar boy in the 1970s and other seminarians and young priests. Meanwhile, Chilean authorities raided four dioceses this week, seizing documents as part of their investigation into clerical sex abuse of minors and alleged cover-ups by bishops. Well, that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have an exclusive interview with Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.